Honestly, the economy got a little scary in 2022, and that could continue in 2023. It's okay to admit when money gets stressful, but what if you had an objective, relatable expert to help navigate the financial world? That's where NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast comes in. Smart Money hosts Sean Piles and Sarah Raffner talk with experts from NerdWallet's team of 100 money nerds to help you make smart financial decisions without the stress. Subscribe to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast today.
Goalie gummies get you so close to your goals, you can actually taste them. The trick? Simply start with bite-sized steps, like Goalie's apple cider vinegar gummies with added B vitamins for daily health, or Goalie ashwagandha gummies to help you relax, restore, and unwind. Mmm, tastes like wellness just got a whole lot better. And when goals taste this good, it's easy to achieve them. Goalie, taste your goals. Learn more at goalie.com today.
Maybe I should feel a little bit guilty in being excited about a Friday. Just maybe, because I didn't work a full week. However, I did travel and had that turnaround and had to get back into the overnight groove. No. Don't feel sorry for me. But I'm also going to set aside any remorse I have over celebrating a Friday, because it started to get real up in here. This weekend is really the precursor to what will be a volatile spring, no doubt. So we've talked about it before. Coming up this weekend, not only is it a lot of conference championship activity for the Power Fives-ish, the Power Five-ish, but it's Selection Sunday. And then before we get to March Madness, actual March Madness and the NCAA tournament, what do we have? The 2 days of legal tampering in the NFL that are sure to be interesting, fascinating, maybe goofy. Sometimes the silly season in the NFL is fairly goofy. That's all on the horizon. And Jay and I were actually looking at the NBA and the NHL schedules as well. And you're talking about the final few weeks of the regular seasons there. And man, what a night in the NHL. Just as a side note, multiple games among contenders going into overtime or shootouts. Starting to pick up the intensity. Just don't be using your stick to take a smack below the belt. Don't be using your stick as a weapon below the belt or anywhere, really. And then you'll stay on the ice and you can help your team.
And the Little Thunders?
Right. We know 2-game suspensions are warranted for hits with sticks below the belt.
It's hockey.
Yeah, that's not part of hockey. We got a lot to get to tonight. Everything from Major League Baseball and the World Baseball Classic, actually, with Team USA getting set for its debut coming up on Saturday. We'll hear from the manager as well as a couple of the U.S. athletes. Shohei Ohtani is already putting on a show. Showtime is global, as you know. And so we'll give you the latest, get you set up for this weekend. Albert Pujols was a guest. He's a guest who can show up whenever he wants at St. Louis Cardinals training camp, not training camp, spring training on Thursday. And also we've got Bryce Harper with an update on his own health status too. In the NFL, Geno Smith explains why he signed with the Seahawks and why that was the right place for him. Von Miller weighs in on the conspiracy theories / collusion theories when it comes to Lamar Jackson. And is it true that the Los Angeles Rams are shopping the quarterback that they traded a mountain and a molehill to get? Is it possible that Les Snead has had to shred his F those picks shirt? Remember, that was his trophy from the Super Bowl victory parade. His proverbial thumb in the nose, thumbing of the nose, not thumb in the nose. There goes the perfect show. I mean, if you want to put your thumb in your nose, that's fine too. I mean, I was doing so well for all of like 3.5 minutes.
It's a good start.
Thanks, Jay. You know me. I suck at cliches and I very often get them wrong. So yes, put your thumb in your nose right now. Here, I'm going to do it. Do I sound funny? I might sound funny. Jay can attest to the fact that my thumb is in my nose.
Yes, it did.
It's in my nose. But don't you worry. I washed my hands a little while ago. Ow. Okay, can I take my thumb?
Ow.
Can I take my thumb out of my nose now?
Yes.
When I was like, I was full speed ahead, and then I had a thumb in my nose. All right, don't tell anyone that in case there are people that didn't actually hear it. So, back to Les Snead. He may now have his thumb up his nose, too.
What the hell's going on right now?
I have no freaking clue. Les Snead was wearing that T-shirt with the, you know, the word, the other F word. And he was thumbing his nose, not thumb up his nose. He was thumbing his nose at the rest of the NFL. Hey, we did it our way. We don't need draft picks. What we needed was to put together a powerhouse team of free agents and veterans, and boom, now we have the Vince Lombardi, except got to pay the piper sometime. Isn't that what we heard from Bill Belichick? Remember, not this past season, but the season before, when he was responding to some of the criticism in the NFL or around the NFL about the Patriots not having the money, not spending the money, not bringing in the right free agents, yada, yada, yada. And what he said was, we went all in for 5 years. We made multiple Super Bowl appearances. We won multiple rings. Now we got to pay the bills. Now we've got to face the other side of that, which is reality in the NFL. You can only do it for so long. It's one reason why the NFL system is relatively brilliant, because a team can go from worst to first in the salary cap structure, in free agency. There is, in fact, a financial crunch for teams that go all in, spend a ton of money. Well, eventually, the bills come due. You can only be creative and put off and defer the bills for so long. So that's essentially what is happening with the Rams, except if you don't have Matthew Stafford, well, then what? So we'll kind of dig into that a little bit, because I'm not sure what's true and what's not. There are conflicting reports out there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yvonne just sent me a tweet with the thumbs up emoji and then, of course, the nose emoji. Yes, that's deserved. Well deserved. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Nobody answered Matthew Stafford to our show question last night. Many of you were still weighing in earlier today when I said to you, if not Aaron Rodgers, or once the Aaron Rodgers domino falls, I'm not exactly sure that Lamar Jackson will be available. Theoretically, he's available right now. I still think the most likely scenario is that he plays for the Ravens next season. But either way, what is the next best option at QB? Well, we didn't know about Matthew Stafford, and I guess we still don't really know about Matthew Stafford. But man, if there's a chance Stafford is available, that could change a lot. He's not a long-term option. But he's an option for next year. He's an option for the year after that. So that's interesting. We'll dig into some QB news. And from the NBA, the road woes of the Golden State Warriors, defending champions, may have hit a new low on Thursday night. The Bucks nearly blow a 20-plus point lead against the Nets before they pull out a win, yet another one without Giannis. And a matchup that maybe at the beginning of the year you wouldn't have thought worthy of a national platform. Except that's exactly what Knicks and Kings turned out to be. You've got two teams that are overperforming, outperforming, outrunning expectations. I like it. I like it when we have fresh blood. I like it when we have unlikely contenders. The Sacramento Kings and the Memphis Grizzlies both right now sitting 6.5 games behind the Denver Nuggets. And the Kings are playing some of their best basketball of the season, even with a red-hot Knicks team in town.
Here's Fox driving into traffic, dumps it out to Sabonis. Back to Fox, left angle. Three's on the way. Bottom of the net. Fourth quarter, Fox has just reared his pointy ears. Sabonis, low post, left. Two dribbles, out to Lyles, looks right, drives left, goes inside, draws the foul, scores the basket. What a great take that was off the dribble by Trey Lyles. Fox at the logo, creeps toward the left ring, still in three-point range, dances with a dribble, in attack mode, drives, double clutch, clash, he's got the layup. Two possession lead, 26.4 to go.
On Kings Radio, you did see the Kings blow a 16-point halftime lead. Knicks came all the way back to tie, but it was De'Aaron Fox, the closer on this night. 16 of his 24 in that final quarter. Malik Monk with 19 off the bench. And this is a nice tune-up for the Kings because the playoffs are on the horizon. In fact, the Kings are 7-1 since the All-Star break.
I think we were able to get key stops. We were able to execute down the stretch, and I think that's ultimately won us this game. And we also had a big lead that we gave away, but we were able to maintain the lead throughout the entire. I don't think we ever lost it in the second half, so it was good that we were able to answer their run.
Didn't lose it, but to see the Knicks rally for a tie. That's De'Aaron Fox, as I say, the closer, most of his points in the fourth quarter. And he likes the fact that the Kings can beat you a variety of ways. Now, keeping in mind, generally they outscore their opponents, but he thinks that that's not the only way that they can be dangerous.
We're at the top of the league in scoring, but I feel like offensively we could play many different ways. We can just go pick and roll. We can get into isolations. We can get into post-ups. We can still throw the ball through the elbow and have guys split. There's just many different ways that we can attack.
Oh, attack. Attack what? De'Aaron Fox, part of the Kings' success this season. Do you know their last playoff spot was the 05-06 season? Their last playoff series win nearly 20 years ago. Sacramento Kings definitely looking at some fresh blood in this upcoming postseason, and I'm excited about it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. One more from De'Aaron Fox, because this is kind of cool. If you overlook the Sacramento Kings, you do it at your own peril. But it's not a story that's making a lot of waves nationally. So it's cool for Fox and his teammates, head coach Mike Brown, who's got a ton of experience, to be in the spotlight on this game that was on TNT.
I think it's big for the organization and for the city. I mean, this is much bigger than us. Like you said, I think people know about the Sacramento crowd, but obviously we play late games. People on the East Coast or in Central Time aren't, you know, they're asleep when we're playing.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
For
them to be able to experience, and obviously not everybody has league pass. So for people to experience this on TNT tonight, I think was huge for this fan base and for this organization. And I think once playoff time comes, obviously most all arenas are loud, but I think this is just a special place to play.
24 points for Domantas Sabonis, and he also had a triple-double, 13 points and 10 assists. So really neat for that fan base who's waited a long time for the franchise to be sure they brought in some quality people. And they do have an offense that can put up points in bunches. Right now, they average 121 points per game. 121 points per game is their average. De'Aaron Fox showing the way at 25.5 per game. So yeah, they'll hurt you. Maybe not known for their defense, but they can outscore you like nobody's business. Speaking of putting up a lot of points, 48 points in the first quarter by the Memphis Grizzlies. The most in franchise history against the defending champion Golden State Warriors. This may be the new low for the Warriors on the road. I've talked about this over the course of the season, and it really makes no sense. Except their defense is abysmal on the road most of the time. The Warriors are now 7-26 on the road. Gross. And they have the same record, same exact record, as the Timberwolves and the Mavericks. So right now the Warriors sit in that number six spot. But in essence, it's a virtual tie with the two teams right behind them, or the two teams that are currently sitting because of tie breaks in the 7-8 spot. The Warriors are in perilous position here. They could find themselves in that 7-10 tournament because they seemingly cannot win on the road. And now they've lost three games in a row again. So they won five in a row. Now they've lost three in a row. But to me, this was a new low. After that first quarter, the Grizzlies were on pace for nearly 200 points. Yes, the Warriors got hot. Primarily Steph Curry hit some dazzling circus threes in the second quarter. Klay Thompson hit some big threes. They were able to use their outside shooting to trim the lead multiple times into single digits, including I think it was down to six in the fourth quarter. But you cannot hand your team or your opponent a 20-point lead early on and just assume you're going to be able to come back. The Grizzlies don't have Ja Morant. They don't have Steven Adams. They're missing critical pieces. And yet they still put up 48 points on the Warriors in the first quarter of their game. As you can imagine, Taylor Jenkins is thrilled because they were also riding a three-game losing streak.
Proud of our guys staying the course, you know, playing connected basketball on both sides of the floor. You know, we had a game plan that we instilled that was a little bit different than we've probably done in the past against them. Our guys did a great job first time executing it. You know, these guys are going to go on runs. It's just a matter of how you're going to withstand that. And I thought the unselfishness on offense, 36 assists, ball movement was phenomenal tonight.
Tyus Jones with 22 points and 11 assists. It was a balanced effort for sure. They have to have that without Ja. Now, a continuation of a story that we've kind of been tracking the last couple of weeks, but that really ramped up with Draymond Green using his podcast called The Volume, right, to take aim at Dylan Brooks. And this was on eve of their matchup Thursday, which was also on TNT. Jay, I don't know if you want to bring back some of that Draymond assessment of why Dylan Brooks can't be yapping. Why it is that this was Dre's assessment of why he can talk, but Dylan Brooks can't really say a whole lot.
Next time you speak up on me, I hope you're in a better situation than you in now, where the guys you play with actually enjoy playing with you because they actually think you're contributing to winning. Because it ain't happening right now, champ. Ah! You're not a champ. You're a clown.
As you can imagine, whether Dylan Brooks heard it himself or whether he was informed about how this would go, he took it as a personal affront and also got in the face of Draymond Green during the game. And he and Steph were going at it too. Brooks was on TNT following the win and was talking about the extended conversation with Dre.
That's what I do. I talk. And, you know, I told him, I told him that, you know, keep that mic. He's better at the mic than pooping. You know what I'm saying? So keep doing this podcast, keep blogging, keep doing this thing off the court. You know, it's cute. It's fun for him.
It's cute. It's fun for him. Well, didn't take long for Dre to respond about Brooks yapping and getting in his face.
He thought he would, like, bait me like he gets baited. I get technical fouls when I want to get a technical foul. I don't get baited into technical fouls. So I think that's probably the difference in between me and him. Oh. If I do that to him, it'd be a double tech because he'd respond. But it's not a double tech because I didn't respond. You know, so one of us are baitable, one of us aren't.
Draymond goes on to issue a soliloquy about how this is not actually a rivalry between the Golden State Warriors and the Memphis Grizzlies. And Jay, actually, I just want the last couple of seconds of that, maybe the last 15 seconds where he's talking about what happens in March. Essentially, he was asked by a reporter, so you don't think it matters that the Grizzlies just beat you? And he kind of throws back to, no, this is not the stage that matters.
And clearly, we won four times, and I think their organization has zero championships, so I can't consider that a rivalry. Oh, I mean, anybody can win in March. Anybody can win in March. What that mean? I have a hard time getting out of my bed in March. How's the game in March me?
I have a hard time getting out of my bed in March, too. They're such clowns, both of them.
Y'all know how that goes.
And yet it's highly entertaining. It really is. Sometimes Draymond, I'm just flabbergasted by the stuff that comes out of his mouth, and yet he is very entertaining, so I'll give him that. He knows how to market himself, and he believes in himself
this
as well.
This idiot.
He's a clown. You're not a champion. You're a clown.
What? You're a clown.
I don't think I've ever called anyone a clown in my life. It's just not something that comes out of my mouth.
You're not a champ.
Trey he's masterful at baiting, as he says. One of us is baitable and one of us is not. So it was calculated, just be sure. But the Grizzlies get the last laugh on this night. All right, we are just getting started. Really excited to welcome former NFL QB, Super Bowl champion, and now VSiN live talk show host Sean King to the show with the QB chessboard fully engaged. There's a lot to talk about. And I know he's got some strong opinions about the Lamar Jackson situation. So, top of the hour, he will join us from Las Vegas, which is where VSiN is located. Between now and then, Kyrie Irving using his Twitch to full effect, full impact. He's now reminding me of another athlete that made the wrong headlines and is no longer playing his sport. We'll explain that following the update at the bottom of the hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It's Lopez handing to Ingles. Ingles passes near wing right now to Portis. Portis takes it down the paint, puts the shot off the window, and gets it to drop. So it's a four-point lead now for Milwaukee, 101-97. Holiday's got it. Pulls up. Three-pointer on the way. No good. Rebound tipped in by Lopez. Oh, was that a big tip. Woo! Brooklyn would have had a chance to tie it or get the lead with a three with 30.6 seconds to go. Thomas has it top of the circle. He was played tightly by Carter. Passes inside. Here's a shot block from Lopez. That's his career high ninth of the game. And the Bucks will go the other way. Carter the other direction. Lays it in. Oh, what a fitting way to end it for Brook Lopez with the tip in to put Milwaukee to 4 points ahead. And then his ninth block of the game leads to a bucket on the other side, and it looks like the Bucks may be in the catbird seat now.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence
on Bucks Radio. Dave Kane, and they allowed a 20 plus point lead to slip away. However, we're able to right the ship and get it moving forward again, even without Giannis Antetokounmpo. Bobby Portis, a season-high 28. And how about this? Brook Lopez, 24 points, 10 rebounds, and the most blocked shots by any player in a game this season, 9 of them.
You have guys like Drew, JC, Chris, you know, all our guards and forwards. They're just animals on ball. They get everyone going downhill, get them going one way, and
all I have to do is just meet these guys at the rim. It's my teammates, you know, they do such a great job with their roles defensively, you know, guarding the ball so hard, making things difficult for their team. And again, giving them one option, you know, making them go one way. It's a tribute to them.
Phenomenal. You know, he block on one end, the offensive rebound tip in on the other end. You know, it was a close game, and, you know, he made the plays that made the difference down the stretch.
Most blocks by any athlete in the NBA this season, and also a career high for Brooke Lopez, one block shy of a triple-double. You don't often see that in the NFL these days. So congratulations to Brooke. Super cool. And yeah, this was a sloppy game, a sloppy win for the Bucks. But think about where we are right now. We're in a situation where teams are, they're hanging on. A lot of times you've got guys who are resting. You've got guys who are not full strength. You're trying to get them back to the point where they're prepared or as healthy as they're going to be for the playoffs. And so you're maybe willing to give a little ground at this time of the year. The Nets were without, oh gosh, what was it like? Four starters. They were missing a bunch of guys, and yet they still believe that they're a playoff team. And Patty Mills says, despite everything that's happened this year, they are going into the postseason of one mind and unified in that locker room.
Proud of the effort, proud of, you know, the group being able to hang tight, the guys that were on the floor, the guys that were not playing, being able to support. This is a, you know, it's a good locker room. And I think if we are to succeed at the end of the day, it's going to be because of that.
I actually believe the Nets are much easier to root for and much more enjoyable to watch now, minus Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And I do love KD on the court. He's an amazing basketball player. But I hate what KD and Kyrie did to the Nets. Happy for Jacques Vaughn. I love Spencer Dinwiddie being back in Brooklyn. I believe that they should be attractive and could add some pieces moving forward, though it's not going to help them this season. A lot of times, though, when you've got adversity and you've had a bunch of drama, sometimes it's addition by subtraction, and that certainly is the case for the Nets. They may not be a championship contender, but boy, is it a lot more peaceful around that team right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of the former Nets, as I just did, here's what we know about Kevin Durant. The team put out a press release on Thursday that he has a left ankle sprain and will be reevaluated in 3 weeks. So there was conflicting reports early on. Remember, we heard from Mike Woodson. We heard from Monty Williams. And then we heard from Devin Booker that it was just a rolled ankle and that he was fine. It was more of a precaution when he slipped during warmups before making his home debut with the Suns on Wednesday. So he did not play on Wednesday, but there was an MRI on Thursday, and now the team is saying that KD will be reevaluated in 3 weeks. I'm not a huge fan of the way Kevin Durant handles his business. I will say that first. I tell you that. But I do feel badly for him because all he wants to do is play basketball. And he just got back on the court. And he was talking about how it felt like forever that he hadn't played in 1,000 basketball games. And what does he last? Like 2 or 3, 4, maybe with the Suns. So I feel terrible for him because by the time he gets reevaluated, and that's assuming he's able to return at that point, there's only a week left in the regular season. Now, the playoffs are the most important thing. The Suns are still a good team without him, but I feel badly for him because he desperately wants to play and he wants to be able to get on the same page with the Suns. So that's a real bummer. The other former Net who's making news, and I wish I was cooler, I guess. I don't know. I'm not in any way hip. Marco Belletti is much hipper than I am. He's here in studio making funny faces at me right now. Well, I'm just mostly joking because neither one of us is very cool, at least by the world standards. I think you're super cool, though.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you know. You're one of my favorites. Oh, come on. For 10 years, I've been telling you how you're one of my favorites, so I don't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. I just want to admit right now, even before we hear or before we play the Kyrie Irving audio from Twitch, I tried, Marco. I've listened to some of these clips multiple times. I do not have the faintest idea what he is talking about. Again, I know that makes me totally uncool, but I
don't think it has anything to do with cool.
I don't get him. I don't know what he's rambling about.
Well,
so without giving away subject matter, because we are going to play it, did it make sense to you?
I mean, I understood the English he spoke, yes. Does it actually, is it coherent? No. He's all over the place. He's rambling in 100 different directions, and he kind of talks in circles. But it's not surprising, because anytime you've heard Kyrie talk, he's always the smartest guy in the room, and he's always talking in circles and riddles that makes you think that you're missing something. You're not missing anything. He's not... The riddle doesn't make sense to anyone but him.
Mm-mm.
So as much as he wants to put it on everybody else, everybody changes my words. No, I listen to every word you said. They don't make sense.
I tried.
You know, they make, they're English, they're words, but when you put them together, it's just jumbled nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. And I don't know, how long was he on Twitch? Because here's the thing that I didn't know about Twitch. I didn't realize that after it was done, that you can't watch like the original Raw video, because that's what I was looking for.
Okay.
Apparently, he was there for over an hour.
Mm.
Now, I didn't catch it live, unfortunately. Now, I went back and tried to find it. I think I found about 19 or 20 minutes in like 45-second increments.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how frustrating it is to listen to 45 seconds at a clip and they're not in a row. And it's 15 minutes long.
Right.
So you're talking, so add in the Kyrie Irving rambling and then take it out of context. Oof. Trying to figure out where it was going.
I don't know what the context is. Like, I've read about people who watched the whole thing, because I didn't either. I was asleep. And I don't think anybody else really gets it either.
No, the context was he wanted to go on there and, you know, as he says, you know, tell his truth.
But
I don't know what the truth was, because, like, I don't know what it... I think it was just the idea of, hey, no one understands me. You
right,
guys
okay.
do. But
still.
It didn't really put any clarity as to how that's the case.
How does this help?
Help.
Well, help people understand him.
You know, that's the part. I mean, it almost feels like, and I hate to say this because I feel like we're piling on, but it's the idea that no one's talked about him in a couple of weeks.
Ugh.
And he needed some attention. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
It, you know, we got past the Kyrie with the Nets stuff and him going to Dallas, and now it was just about basketball. And is he going to be able to jive with Luka Doncic? And that wasn't enough. It can't just be basketball. He needs the nonsense. So it's been a few weeks. He needed an hour to rant and rave and for us to talk about it.
Just do it, though, in your room or do it with your friends. Don't put it on Twitch for the world to hear. That's the thing that bothers me. That's why you have family and friends. Talk to them.
Well, it's hard to get the attention that you seek if you're not going to get it from people that are outside.
We will let you hear from Kyrie Irving in clips. We don't have the whole thing, and I wouldn't play it anyway, but a few clips that maybe you can help us make sense of. Also, apparently there's a piece of pizza in a box out in our newsroom that people are interested to know if someone has eaten it yet. That started on the JR Sport Brief show. I don't eat old pizza in a box that I don't know where it came from. Jay does sometimes, so I'll go check on it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
After year one, I was unsure about whether or not I wanted to be in Brooklyn long-term again because of things that was happening behind the scenes. I just did my best to put my head down and work as hard as I could. There were some unfortunate circumstances that came up there that were out of my control, whether it be the mandate with the vaccine or missing games being suspended or, you know, just little things that I think, you know, just put just wrenches in our journey.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
He sounded rational, reasonable, explaining. You may or may not agree with how he exited Brooklyn and his trade request, but he did seem like he was ready for a fresh start and was ready to put the Nets in Brooklyn behind him and move forward and talk basketball and winning alongside Luka Doncic and the Mavs. Of course, it is a precarious position and definitely a gamble for the Mavs because Kyrie does not have a contract after this season. He becomes a free agent, which means that he can sign anywhere, and it may not be the Mavericks, though they gave up quite a lot to get him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Luka Doncic, by the way, does not have any serious injury according to the tests that were done on Thursday. His thigh is giving him problems, but there's nothing torn, again, at least according to the x-rays and the MRI. So we'll see how quickly he comes back, but they're below 500 since Kyrie joined the team and they gave up the other pieces. But that's not what Kyrie was talking about when he took to Twitch for an hour-long conversation of sorts, and we're just going to let you hear it. I want to understand it. I want to get it. I just know he always pushes back. He, even if there's not any new criticism, new chatter around him, he somehow finds a reason to get upset with what people have said about him in the past.
For 3 hours and you think you know who I am. You see a few posts. Oh, Kai's woke. Kai got it. Oh, Kai is, oh my goodness, he just doesn't fit into the mold of all of the other people. And man, he's different. He's crazy. He's arrogant. He's this. He's that. He's this. All from seeing me from 3 hours. You get all that. Kai, what's Kai gonna do this summer? Does Kai like Dallas? What happened in Brooklyn? What happened in Boston? What happened in Cleveland? Why did you leave LeBron? Why did you leave Jason? Why did you leave Katie? Why did you leave all these people? For 3 hours. Get to ask all these legitimate questions. As if 21 hours every day wasn't happening after that. Me, you would think that I'm the cancer in the locker room, as if basketball is an individual sport that one person is supposed to take blame for. It's 15 guys on the team, and I'm the one cancer in the room. That's what it's portrayed as. That's what you guys get. That's what they have fun doing. That's what why these older, bitter gentlemen and women keep my name in their mouths every day.
That's over a minute of Kyrie clapping back at what he perceives are the constant criticisms. I don't really get the part about 3 hours unless he's referring to a basketball game. And I don't know how he can say that it's just about basketball when he's the one that very often gets off the beaten basketball path, goes AWOL, doesn't tell his team where he is. The vaccine was his own personal decision, and I did not agree with the way the NBA handled it or New York handled it, blah, blah, blah. I totally get that. But Kyrie, he marches to the beat of a different drummer. Is that bad? No, it's not bad to be different. The problem is he's taking a hell of a lot of money and very often is a terrible teammate. It's Kyrie first. But is it always Kyrie's fault that they lose? No. Some of this stuff, he takes it and he chews over it and he stews over it and it becomes so much bigger than I think it is. It's part of being a professional athlete that people criticize what you do on the court, but also give you praise for what you do on the court. At the same time, he continually puts himself in the spotlight for other reasons. Honestly, I have zero idea what he's doing in this conversation he's seemingly having with himself on Twitch.
Happy to be here. Just elated. Elated. Just elated to be here. Oh, it's great. It's great, dude. Dude, it's great. It's great. It's great, broski. Bro, name it. It's great. It's great. It's great, bro. It's great. It's great. It's great. This life's great, bro. I have no complaints. I don't.
He's got to be making fun of himself or making fun of someone else, because that doesn't seem like it's Kyrie talking. He seems like he's making fun of someone else who's been talking about him. It's just, again, it's a little bit bizarre. Now, we don't have the full stream because, as Marco was pointing out, you can't get it after the fact. You can only get it in clips. But he definitely used a lot of different voices and definitely talked about a lot of different topics, like sports gambling, for instance.
Don't get me wrong. I don't want anybody wasting their money on me. But God dang, like, this whole community of gamblers that's coming to the game of basketball, y'all tell me what y'all think. Want to gamble?
Why don't you gamble on something that makes sense? You gamble on me, I'm not going to tell you whether it's a good gamble or a bad gamble. I'm just saying, you gambling. You're going to win or lose. But that doesn't mean sliding into people's DMs or wishing bad on them or doing the extra shit that goes on, man. It blows my mind sometimes. You feel me? Don't get me wrong. I don't want anybody wasting their money on me. But God dang, like, this whole community of gamblers that's coming to the game of basketball, y'all tell me what y'all think. Want to gamble? Why don't you gamble on something that makes sense?
I absolutely 150% agree with him about fans who then send players nasty messages or in some extreme cases death threats because they're angry that they lost money when they're gambling on a situation that they cannot control. They're gambling on other people and hoping those people play up to their ability or hoping those people play the way they think they should play or are going to play. So that part I agree with, but the part I can't figure out what he's saying. He's saying, don't waste your money on me, but it's odd. It's just odd. The Ja Morant situation, we'll hear from him. It's a little bit longer, so we'll save that for our next opportunity when we talk about Kyrie. But he does have a kind parting message.
If this ends up somehow misconstrued and they try to chop up what I said to mean a certain thing, just be aware, all right? And just do everything you can to protect me without getting into trouble, okay? I just love you guys. It's not about appeasing them, it's just about controlling what we can control here. All right, so peace, y'all. I love you.
Who's them? I'm assuming I'm part of them because I'm the media. I have a talk show, I have a platform. I get that not every pro athlete is comfortable in the spotlight, and not every pro athlete asked for the spotlight or the criticism. But man, if what he wants is for people to not talk about him, then how about just kind of keep it to yourself? Like I said, rant to your family, rant to your friends. Don't go on Twitch and put it out there for the world to hear so that you give people more material. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Kevin Matt talks with Matt Hardy.
There's nothing like a wrestling fan, you know, for better or for worse. How do you handle that, though? We're talking about people talking about your family, what they don't know about your family or your brother or you. How does one handle that from a day-to-day basis?
Something I joke about with the Young Bucks all the time. I said, if you would vanity search Matt Hardy on Twitter, I said, after you got through 100 replies, you'd want to quit the business and never be seen again. It's just, you just learn to deal with it. You know what I mean?
It's the Kick Rocks Wrestling Podcast with Evan T. Mack. Subscribe now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.